ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः ॐ अव्यक्तादीनि भूतानि अव्यक्तादीनि भूतानि व्यक्तमध्यानि भारत व्यक्तमध्यानि भारत अव्यक्तनिधनान्येव अव्यक्तनिधनान्येव तत्र का परिदेवना तत्र का परिदेवना सो इन् दिस् वर्स् कृष्ण introduces and also talks about the karna shariram, the causal body. How does he say here? Instead of talking about the causal body, he says, all these, because bhutani, all these beings which are now manifest, which are there, all these beings and all these forms, they all of them existed even before they came into being. Even before they manifested, they existed. Before they were born, they existed. Whenever we say something is born, in our understanding, whatever is born is newly born. Newly born. When you say newly born, it was not there before in our understanding. But real, according to Shastram, whatever is born newly, whatever has come into being, already existed in a different form. Why? When it already existed in different form means what? That itself implies it has no beginning. Nothing in this creation has really beginning. Beginning and end is only with reference to forms and names. The new forms have beginning and the new forms which come into being have the names. And the new forms with the new names, they exist for a while. And those forms change. Okay, the change of one form into another form is what? Birth of one form and death of another form. Really speaking. Therefore, all these forms which existed before, kada te asan, adau avyaktani asan. Avyakta means what? They were unmanifest. They were imperceptibly unmanifest. They were there before, adav avyaktani, then punaha kim abhavate, madhye vyaktani abhavan. They became manifest in the middle. Now, after they become manifest, what happens? Punaha avyakta nidhanani. Again they become nidhane, again ante, punaha avyaktani bhavanti. Again they become unmanifest. This is the cycle. So they become manifest, from being manifest, they become unmanifest. From being unmanifest, they again become manifest. From becoming manifest, this is constantly happening. Therefore, that is the nature of the matter. So there is a causal matter, and causal matter manifests as subtle and gross bodies. And subtle and gross bodies exist for a length of time. While existing also, they constantly undergo changes. And there is a time they totally get deformed and then totally change. Again, they continue to be in this, they get disintegrated, they go back to their thing. So, it continues to exist. So, as we say in science, matter is not created, matter is not destroyed, matter always exists, but matter is always interconvertible, means what? It always gets converted into different forms. Okay, that convertibility is the nature of the nobody is converting. It is of the nature of constantly undergoing changes. Similarly, what about this? The causal matter, whatever was there, which we do not see, we cannot see the causal matter. Why? The mind which has to know, itself is what? Material product. Understand? That is why, how would be the causal matter? We can never understand. Okay, but I'm going to tell you later on about that. Now understand this much. So what Krishna says, come on, these gross bodies, no, they have beginning, they have an end. In between also they undergo changes. Sixfold modifications, they are subject to all sixfold modifications, Shankara says in his Bhashyam. Birth is there, death is there, and then in between they go through sixfold changes. This is the nature of the physical body. And when it dies, death means what? It gets totally disintegrated. It becomes all the elemental, it's born of five elements, again it rejoins the elements, become one with the elements. This is the nature of the physical body. What about the subtle body? Subtle body, does not die. It continues to exist. Subtle bodies dissolve only when the dissolution takes place, total deluge takes place. We don't have to worry about deluge at all. Subtle body continues to exist. You understand, subtle body does not die like the gross body. Why? Anything gross cannot destroy the subtle. And what about this cause? Cause is much subtler than the subtle. Cause is much subtler than the subtle. So how can effect cause any destruction to this cause? Therefore, neither the cause can destroy the effect, nor the effect can destroy the cause. And the gross being, gross subject to change, and therefore there is no other thing to destroy one thing. Really speaking, the gross thing is there, it is of the nature of undergoing changes, it is there, it totally in the form changes. The subtle continues to exist for some time, and then understand, nothing happens to the subtle body. Until the jnanam takes place, knowledge takes place, subtle body continues to survive, I tell you. Causal matter also will be there. Only in the wake of the knowledge of the self, okay, the subtle body resolves. Okay, and the causal body also is resolved, will be resolved. That is called freedom. Till then, it is there. There is no such thing called a destruction as such. And this is the nature of the matter. This is the nature of the causal body. This is the nature of the subtle body. This is the nature of the gross body. Causal matter or manifest subtle matter, effect. Now, subtle body or the gross body. This is the nature of the material product as such. Once you, as an intelligent person, a mature person, understand the nature of the matter, the causal matter and their products and accept it. Understand the nature of it. It's a fact about it. Understand it, accept it. And what is that to worry about? Okay, what? Then nothing. Katatra ka parivedana, paridevana. Nothing to worry about. And what about the atma? It's all the anatma, okay? He talked about the anatma. What about the atma? Of course, atma is not subject to destruction at all. We saw in the very beginning. No? Antavanta ime dehaha nityasyokta sharirinaha anashino prameyasya tasmadyudhyasva bharata. This atma is anashi, aprameyaha, nityaha, anashi, how many times have you been repeating? This is anityaha, it is eternal, self is eternal. Why it is eternal? Because it is beginningless. Because it is beginningless, also endless. Not only beginning endless, it is avikriyatvam asti atmanaha. It is which has changelessness. Atma is changeless, beginningless, endless. Why it is beginningless and endless? Because it is changeless. Why it is changeless? Because it is uncaused. Anything which is caused has a beginning. Uncaused, causeless. Why it is causeless and uncaused? Because it is self-existent. Why it is self-existent? It is the very existence. Understand? Atma happens to be the very existence. It is self-existent. Because it is self-existent, it does not depend upon something else for its existence. Therefore, it is uncaused, okay, and causeless. Therefore, beginningless, therefore endless, therefore changeless, therefore eternal. This is the Atma. And this Atma is what? Nityaha. This is Nityaha. Anashi. Nityaha. This is what? Anashi. Nityaha, Anashi, indestructible. And also Aprameyaha. Aprameyaha, never will Atma be available for objectification as an object of knowledge. Prameyaha means an object of knowledge. Prameyam means what? No, pramana dwara jnayam prameyam. Anything which is to be known through a pramanam is what? Prameyam. And what about the Atma is aprameyaha. Anashi, anashi, anashi no prameyasya. No, this is the anashi, aprameyaha, nityaha. This is Atma. And what about the Atma, the bodies of the Atma? Antavantaha, they have an end, they have beginning and they have end. And they are subject to all sixfold modifications. This is the nature of the gross body. And this is the nature of the Atma. So now you understand that total individual. The whole, until the sixth chapter, we are going to study only. So until this sixth chapter, we are going to understand this. Now what is an individual? Individual is totally analyzed. Individual is both combination of Atma and Anatma. What is Atma? Atma is the meaning of the word I is what actually the pure consciousness. Individual is both Atma and Anatma. And what is Anatma part of individual? Body, mind, sense complex. And what is it? It's a material product. Both subtle and the gross together constitute what? An individual. And both subtle body and the gross body is a material product, and which is a manifestation of the causal matter. What is the causal matter? Is what? It is not created. The causal matter is not created. It is not destroyable also. But it is of the nature of undergoing changes. Because it's of the nature of undergoing changes, what happens to the products, the cause, the subtle body and the gross body, they exist, they constantly undergo changes. But the gross body, is of the completely subject to get disintegrated, which is called death, which is not at all acceptable for us. All our worry is because of the I sense in the body, the death is such a frightening thing and an unacceptable thing and a very saddening thing, sad thing. Really speaking, it's very natural. What happens to the Atma actually? Atma is, that's why we say there is no such thing called destruction at all. Okay? There's only, we can say this total destruction and relative destruction. Absolute destruction. There is no such thing called absolute destruction at all for anything. Even for the material product, the body, mind, sense complex, there is no such thing called total destruction. Continues to exist in a different form. For Atma, even the relative destruction also is not there. Okay? The body, mind, sense complex, which Anatma part of the individual, is subject to relative destruction. Atma part of the individual is not subject to relative destruction also. What is that to worry? This is what understanding the individual as a whole. But here, where can you place I? Where can you place I? Do you want to place I only on the body, only on the mind, only on the senses, or only on this body, mind, is complex, the material product, or on the consciousness principle? Where should the I be resolved? Now, I sense. So, according to Shastram, so that's why Shastram uses our own language. How do you relate to objects? What do you call subject? What do you call object? What is a verb? An action. So, subject of action, object of action, what is that? Then it talks about the knowledge. If there is something called knowledge, without the knowledge, there is no such thing called Jagat. There is no transaction possible. It's always experience and knowledge. Life is experience based. That is how it said, okay, come on, look at everything which is object of knowledge. Object of knowledge can never be looked upon as subject. And anything external to the body can be very well accepted as an object of knowledge. Only when the body comes, body also is as good an object as any other external object. But you can't look at it as an object. Just understanding. In no way it is different from any other panchabhautikam. This shariram is panchabhautikam. Five elemental. Similarly, anything external to the body always what? Panchabhautikam. The whole jagat is panchabhautikam. Everything in this jagat is panchabhautikam. Five elemental product. Sentient or insentient. Animate or inanimate. Everything is panchabhautikaha prapanchaha panchabhautikam shariram. Five elemental. So this is the gross body. So definitely you can't really, you can say, okay, I am. It is a no problem. In transactions. But really, one should have that wisdom, really. Okay, you can't really call it I. This alone is not the I. That's the problem. And if you analyze, okay, much subtler than this, subtly available for perception to me, not to the world around, not externally, but for it's available for inner perception, thought perception, my own subtle aspects, mind, intellect, ego, memory, and all my powers of organs of actions, powers of sense organs, physiological functions, what about they? They're also subtle manifestations of subtle matter. They're also material product. And the grass cannot destroy the subtle. Listen, cause cannot destroy the effect, never can the water destroy the wave, nor can the wave, which is very much dependent on the water, destroy the, water. Similarly, the causal matter cannot destroy the subtle body, and the subtle being subtler than the grass cannot destroy the subtle. Can you believe? One grass thing can bring about a change on the part of another grass. That is what is so-called killing that is happening around. People who are gross in thinking can go for such destructions. Gross destruction. Gross-minded, gross-thinking people can go for destroying the gross things. And they believe that their success is in destroying the gross forms. The buddhi you can't change, you know. In the intellect, in understanding, the mind cannot be destroyed. I don't know people see this. People think mind cannot be destroyed. People understand that. And people will not go for destroying the physical bodies by killing and bombing. They cannot achieve anything. Why? Because they don't know mind cannot be destroyed. Mind can never be destroyed. Mind, under the cognitive change can take place in mind. Changes can take place in mind when there is cognition. And changes always have to take place because of understanding. Understanding alone should bring about a change in a person. That is called cognitive change. That needs understanding, learning and teaching, lot of things. Now, if I impose something on you, and if I kill you, if you don't accept what I say, that means what? I am very gross thinking. I don't have that. I don't see that. I can't kill the mind. Even if I kill the person, that person dies with the same thinking mind. He'll come back. Anyway, so what I want to say here in this context, this is the nature of the Atma, this is the nature of the Anatma. So what can be destroyed, what cannot be, what can be destroyed? What is destroyed and who is the destroyer? Where are the things here? Where is the second thing other than the Atma? The whole material, body, causal matter, and the manifestations of the material products, all of them are dependent on the Atma for its existence. Whereas Atma is totally independent of the Anatma. Therefore, Atma is as good as the cause, Anatma is as good as the effect. Even the second thing is not there. There is no real second thing. What is, there is only Atma. But still we say, even Anatma is as good as the effect. Atma is as good as the cause. Even though when we say, look at it, effect is, wave is effect, water is cause, we say, not cause means what? Not as good as the cause. Why? Because one is dependent, one is independent. And here Anatma is dependent on the Atma. Atma is independent of Anatma. So Atma is totally indestructible, relatively also it is indestructible, And anatma is what? Relatively distinctible. Anatma is what? Only the gross body. Distinction also what? It only undergoes changes. It will continue to exist in different forms. So once you understand what is atma, what is anatma, what is satyam and what is mithya, no? What is sat, what is nasato vidyate bhavaha nabhavo vidyate sataha ubhayorapi drishtontaha anayoho, no? Tanayoho tattvadarshibihi. So anayoho antaha, no? Sataha asataha antaha tattvadarshibihi drishtaha. The true people who know the truth, who know what is anatma, what is atma, they have seen, understood the thing. Okay, one is constantly changing. Therefore, one is mithya. One does not have independent existence. Atma is satyam because it is self-existent. It exists independently. Therefore, there is no such thing called total destruction for atma and anatma. There is no such thing called relative destruction also for the Atma. Anatma alone is subject to relative destruction, which is only a change. Change of forms, thereby change of names. And they existed before, they existed now, they will continue to be there in future also in different forms. Whatever was there before is now, whatever is now will continue to be there in future forever. But in different forms. Avyakta adini bhutani madhya vyaktani punaha nidane avyaktani bhavanti. Tatra ka paridevana. What is that to worry about? Okay. Therefore, what is his atma then? What is his atma? This is totally indestructible. Relatively also indestructible. What is his atma? What is his atma then? If satyam, if it is as good as the cause, if anatma is as good as the effect, if anatma is not, definitely there is no distance between atma and anatma also, like the water and the wave, there is also no distance. That means, what is this atma? Okay, that's why he says, it is really, if we don't understand this, what is it? So the next shloka says, Ascharyavat Pashyati.
Ascharyavat Pashyati
Kaschidenam
Kaschidenam
Ascharyavat Vadati Ascharyavat Vadati Tathaiva Chanyaha Tathaiva Chanyaha Ascharyavat Chainam
Ascharyavat Chainam
Anyashrunoti Anyashrunoti Shrutvapyenam Shrutvapyenam Vedana Chaiva Kaschit
Vedana Chaiva
Kaschit Vedana Chaiva Kaschit
Vedana Chaiva
Kaschit. See, Ascharyavat Pashyati Kaschit. Kaschit means Kaha is a masculine interrogative pronoun. Kaha, who, it also means what and also means which, depending upon the context. And when you say this chit, when you say kaschit means someone. Someone, somebody, kaschit, yenam atmanam, now this atma, this self, this means what? When you come closely, nearest, this also thing also can be indicated by the pronoun this. What is the nearest to yourself? Yourself. Therefore, you can say this self. When you say, okay, you can say yeshaha atma, I am atma. This self, which is very me, which is the meaning of the very word I, okay, enam, therefore, enam is objective there. Kaschite enam atmanam ascharyavat pashyati. He looks at it. He sees it as something, an object of wonder. Okay? And Ascharyavat Vadati Tathaiva Cha Anyaha. Other person talks about it, no? As a wonder. Ascharyavat Vadati talks about it. No? What is his Atma? Then Ascharyavat Cha Yenam Anyaha Shrunoti. Anyaha Shrunoti. Other person hears about this Atma as something wonder. Like Ascharyavat. And Shrutva Api. He looks at it differently, he talks about it as a wonder, he listens to the nature of, you know, listens about the Atma, Shutva api yenam na Shutva api na Veda kaschit. One can hear about the Atma, but still one need not understand, okay? One can't to be Shutva api na Veda. Even having heard also, one does not know what this Atma exactly is. Why? Because Atma is never an object of knowledge. The object of knowledge is Atma. Listen, Atma is not an object of knowledge, but any object of knowledge is Atma. Knowledge also is Atma. In fact, the knower also is Atma. The knower, known, knowledge, all the three are Atma, really speaking. That because of which any knowledge takes place, that is Atma. Okay, it's like I can say, the wave is water. Understand? The waving also is water. And the water is water. All three are one. Like that. You know, we are going to see that now. Ascharyavati iti.
Ascharyavati.
Ascharyam.
Ascharyam.
Adrishtapurvam.
Adrishtapurvam.
Adbhutam.
Adbhutam.
Akasmat.
Akasmat.
Drishyamanam.
Drishyamanam.
Tena tulyam.
Tena tulyam.
Ascharyavate.
Ascharyavate.
See, ascharyam means wonder, literally speaking. Ascharyavat means what? Like the wonder. Okay? Like something wonder. What is it, wonder, something wonderful, no? This Shankaracharya explains here, Adrishta, Ascharya means Adrishta Puram, something which was never seen before, something which we never saw before at all, suddenly something you see, something surprising. Okay, surprising. Surprising means what? Not surprising, we had never seen this before. Something very new. Okay, this is Adrishtapuram. Adbhutam. Adbhutam means what? Wonderful, really. It's a wonder. No? And then astonished. It makes you feel astonished. It's also Adbhutam. Why? Akasmat Drishyamanam. Suddenly you happen to know about it. Okay? Akasmat Drishyamanam, that which is seen. Something like that is what? Ascharyavati. Tena tulyam Ascharyavati. He says, Ascharyam iva,
Ascharyam iva,
Yenam Atmanam,
Yenam Atmanam,
Pashyati,
Pashyati,
Kaschit,
Kaschit,
Ascharyavate,
Ascharyavate,
Yenam Vadati,
Yenam Vadati,
Tathaivacha,
Tathaivacha,
Anyaha,
Anyaha,
Ascharyavate,
Ascharyavate,
Cha,
Enam,
Anyaha Shrunoti,
Anyaha Shrunoti.
Other person hears about something wonderful. Shrutva,
Shrutva,
Drishtva,
Drishtva,
Uktva,
Uktva,
Api,
Api.
So having heard about the Atma, having seen the having looked at the Atma in as a wonder, and having talked about it also, what? Atmanam Veda Chaiva Na Kaschite. No one seems to have understood Atma. When people talk about the Atma, okay, talk about the Atma everywhere, Vedanta classes, all over, we do hear about it everywhere, okay? And then Atma, as Swamiji says, no, all big words, indestructible, immortal, eternal, imperishable, Atman, all-pervasive, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, almighty. All these words are used to know one word we do not understand. Really, we do not understand one word of it. All English words are very familiar. Okay, not in Sanskrit words. Nityaha, sarvagataha, sthanuhu, achalaha, ayam sanatanaha. If you don't understand, I can understand. This is Sanskrit. Even English words do we understand. Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, almighty. What? We do talk about the Alkas, Kalyana Guna Sampannaha Bhagavan. We talk about all these words in English language also. But what do we understand? Really speaking, nobody understands. Why? Okay. Athava.
Athava.
Okay. Yaha.
Yaha.
Ayam.
Ayam.
Atmanam pashyati.
Atmanam pashyati.
Saha.
Saha.
Ascharya tulyah.
Ascharya tulyah.
Yaha vadati.
Yaha vadati.
Yaha cha shrunoti.
Yaha cha shrunoti.
Saha.
Saha.
Aneka sahasreshu.
Aneka sahasreshu.
Kaschideva bhavati.
Kaschideva bhavati.
What he wants to say is, I am Atmanam yaha pashyati saha ascharya tulyaha. One who really sees Atma. Seeing the Atma means what? Seeing the self means one who knows the Atma. Seer of Atma is what? Knower of the Atma. Okay? One who knows the self, one who knows this, the real substance of the substantive word I, one who looks at this, one who knows the Atma clearly, no saha ascharya tulyaha, he is really something wonderful, very, very rare. It's very rare to see somebody who knows the Atma. Very rare. And so Shankaracharya says, yaha vadati, yaha cha shrunoti, and one who talks about the Atma, I mean, talks about the Atma means what? Not simply talking. One who has the vision of the Atma, one should know, have the vision of the Atma, thereafter, and giving that vision to other person. Come on, this is what actually the Atma is. Talking about the Swarupma of the Atma, nature of the Atma, thereby giving the vision to the Atma is what? Not vadati, yaha vadati. Similarly, yaha shrunoti. Shrunoti also, one who talks about, you know, listens to the nature of the Atma also. Such a person, he says, no? Aneka sahasreshu kaschi deva bhavati. Of many, 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 many thousands and thousands of people, only one person will be of that caliber. There is only one person of many thousands, and thousands is upalakshana. Upalakshana means what? Of the entire, no? The entire humanity, very, very, very few people rarely recognize the nature of the Atma, and they can talk about the vision, give the vision, and also understand, talk about it, and they can hear about it. Such a person is what? Aneka sahasreshu, of many thousands, only one eva, kaschideva bhavati. Ataha.
Ataha.
Ataha means what? Therefore. What is the conclusion? Therefore. Ataha. Ataha means what? Therefore. You will go and learn there. Basant will teach you. Aham Sanskritam Patitum Ichami. Ataha Aham Bangalore Agata. He will teach you. Ataha. He will teach you tomorrow. He also will teach you all those things. Ataha. Durbodaha Atma.
Durbodaha Atma.
Iti Abhiprayaha.
Iti Abhiprayaha.
So Atma Durbodaha Iti Abhiprayaha. It is very difficult to, you know, why? If it is not properly, Atma Swarupam is not properly unfolded, not systematically unfolded, step by step it is not, no, showed, no, one should be taken to Atma Swarupam systematically, step by step, no, only then Atma can be understood correctly. Otherwise, comprehension of Atma is impossible. Is very difficult. That is why we emphasize in Sampradaya, it doesn't matter how many, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, even the whole Janma, even many Janmas you spend also, we can still by heart, we can repeat all the Upanishads like parrots, still we can continue to be vague about the Atma. We don't need to know about the Atma. That can happen. That is why the many scholars in India, imagine so many scholars in India are sitting, all the Sanskrit pandits, if they can really see the Atma Swarupam. If you ask, if you teach, tuck them like a tape recorder, touch them, they can vomit. In India, many scholars, Banaras, Rishikesh, Kashi, everywhere, so many scholars are sitting there all over. And they can like a tape recorder, they can vomit out all the so many, they're by-hearted. will be surprised, my God, the amount of by heart, the amount of, you know, the quantity of things, stuff they have by heart and kept in the mind, everything. So much they know. You can see so many people in Bangalore. They kept so much they know in by heart, but they really don't understand. That means what? Anything they can understand. The literature, the romantic literature, other literature, the poetics, and they can see the beauty of grammar, Panini, and all those things they can understand. They will be very, very great scholars in Panini grammar. They can tell everything, what is Sandhi, what is Samasa, what is this, what is Alankara, everything they can tell you. But Atma Swarupam needs a special interest. Otherwise, they can't understand. And understand Atma Swarupam, even academically qualified Vedanta, MA, PhD, are many in Chennai University. I can show you how many people who are out PhD in Vedanta. What is PhD for? But they ask them to teach you something. They can come back and explain to everything in English. They can give beautiful talks in Taittiriya Upanishad and other Upanishads. But giving vision, they will miss. No way? Because systematically, step by step, it has to be, you know, taken to. Only Atma can be understood. That's why it's very difficult. Durbodaha means what? It is very difficult to comprehend, understand, see. Because it is the subtlest substance. It is the very you, very observer, very knower. We do not even know who the knower is here. We do not even know. We know I am the knower. But who exactly is the knower? Is the body knower? Is the mind knower? Is the senses knower? Is the prana? Who is the knower here? We don't even know that. We only say that, no, I'm the knower, everything. It's all we talk about. I'm an eater, I'm a goer, I'm a seer. We say that. Who exactly is this, the person meant with the verb, no, with the ER, affix? Who is this knower? You don't know. Leave alone I. Who is this knower here? Of this composite person. Is the body, mind, and complex, there's everything. Is a composite, whole being, individual. Who is the knower here? Does the leg know? Is it your shank, no? Or your thighs, no? Or back, no? Who is the one who knows here? The pranas, no? Are the thoughts, no? Who is the knower actually? We never think this. We don't even know this. And the Shastram has, that's why I said Chaka Chandra Nyaya. It's very, very important. It is very easy for somebody who sees the moon. Come on, look at this. I can see the crescent moon there. Come on, look at this. There's a moon. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. If I show you, it is not the way it is to be shown. Even if I see it. And I myself don't see. And I also make you, I try to make you see. Come on, see. I don't see myself. I make you, try to make you also see. And even if I see that, if I say, really come and see that, I'm not a good teacher. No? That is why always hold the small finger of the child or give your small finger to the child to hold like this. Take the child, make the child slowly, walk slowly along with you. Okay, you can walk very fast. The child has a small foot, okay, small feet. So he cannot walk and cannot keep pace with your running and walking. You walk slowly. Keeping pace with the child's size of the child's feet, small feet, walk slowly. It means what? Take the child along with you. They were taking along. The teacher should have thorough vision and take the student along with. Make the child walk along with you. You don't run. You walk along with the child. Make the child walk with you. That's a trick. Similarly, here, make the child see from distance. In village, it's called Tattastake. We have a beautiful thing. Why Shakha Chandra Nyaya? It may not be understood here. In India, it is very, very clear. There is a season, monsoon season. And that is the time we have Akshaya Tritiya day. There's a day called Akshaya Tritiya, third day after New Moon day. And the third day digit we are supposed to see. It is very auspicious for us. Akshaya Tritiya Dine, no, Tritiya Dina, the crescent moon, no, Chandra Kiranam Pashyet, Chandram Pashyet. So we have to see the crescent moon. and there will be a small line of moon. Small line. Third day digit means what? A small line of crescent moon will be there. And monsoon time, of course, in this country you can never see because always dark country. There we have bright sun, and then monsoon season means cloudy day. The whole day will be very, very cloudy. And the evenings you have to see. And some people will be fasting actually. Until they see the moon, they can't eat. They will be dying. They want to go and break the fast. They are hungry also. They are waiting. And they have to wait the cloudy day, monsoon time. You have to see the Akshaya Tritiya. Tritiya, no? The third day digit, the moon, digit of the moon you have to see. You will be waiting. And this person has to show. The one person would have seen. Because of great Shraddha, this person would have seen. And he wants to help other person who has to see. And there will be all villages, no? So they have to say, come on, you look here. You are seeing the big road here, all village paths, okay, and then the footpaths, and there you go there and see the many huts there, decent huts, and beyond the huts you know there's a stream there, and beyond the stream you see that big one small, you know, canal goes there, and behind that you can see the other two huts, and near there you see two big trees. And off the one tree, the third tree is the tallest tree. Of the tallest tree, you see the three branches go upwards. And all the three branches, you see in the middle branch. And middle of the branch, you can see two, there's also one crow sitting. Okay? And next to that, and see the small two branches go above there. And in the middle of that, Shakha means branch. Okay? Shakha, Chandra. There you see. Take. Then the person who has the vision, who has seen exactly where it is, he tells you also how to see that. Your attention will get distracted. Take to this distance, take there. It's called a systematically, step by step taking. That's why without systematic step by step teaching, clarity will never dawn. Satyam, I can write and give you. No meditation will ever take you anywhere, any distance. We can feel happy about talking about it. Okay? Maybe you can feel temporary relaxation. But emotionally you are as weak as you were before. Or maybe you become more emotionally dependent on those things. Really speaking, the clarity never comes. But you may feel good, oh, I've been practicing this, it has helped. Definitely that karma, the effort, it has taken you away from other things. It has taken you from pubs, it has taken you from drinking, taken you from gambling, taken you from cars, it has taken you from other drugs and stuff. Therefore, it is good. It has done a greatest thing. We had very, very thankful to any good teaching that has been going on. But systematic teaching, and why I'm emphasizing, I feel in the heart that how important it is to understand this systematic teaching. That's why I have to tell you this. Because even if I'm not respected here, it doesn't matter. I have to tell you the truth. In a fact. Because I feel for people who spend a lot of time in this. So, what I'm saying, this is the systematic teaching. It has to be taken. Otherwise, Atma Durbodaha. It is very difficult to understand. Okay? And it's not overnight business. That's why it's not package course. Pranayama can be done in package course. Yoga classes can be done in package course. Any package course is possible. Okay? Packages are available, but Atma Jnanam is not for a package course. Okay? It's a whole life. That's why the lifestyle itself is what? Vedic way of life means the whole life has to be lived ultimately to get the vision. Then life becomes fulfilled. Even if you don't get missed, even if you miss this life chance, don't worry. You will pick up that where you live. That's why live a clean life. You may progress. At least you would have promoted to a better, higher class. You will not be detained, okay? We don't want to be detained at least. So every life should be a promoting life, not should be a detaining life. Either I achieve in this life itself, even if I fail to achieve in this life, I should be in a promotable condition, not in a detainable condition. That is what Shastra expects us to do. So here he says, that is why Shankaracharya himself, he says, why Ascharyavat Pashtu? Why should he talk about it? ஆச்சரியவத் பஷ்யதி. கிருஷ்ணா நோஸ் இஸ் வெரி வெல். கம் ஆன் பீப்புள், டாக் அபவுட் தி ஆத்மா. ஆச்சரியவத் பஷ்யதி, ஆச்சரியவத் வதத்தி, ஆச்சரியவத் ஸ்ருணோதி, ஸ்ருத்வா அபி கஷ்டித் ந வேத. ஈவன் ஹேவிங் ஹர்ட் இட், பீப்புள் ஹேவ் நாட் அண்டர், நோபடி நோஸ் அபவுட் இட். வை? பிகாஸ் தட்ஸ் வை ஹி சேஸ் யஹா அயம் ஆத்மானம் பஷ்யதி சஹ ஆச்சரியவத் ஆச்சரிய துல்யா. இஃப் தெர் இஸ் அ ஜானி ஹூ நோஸ் தி ஆத்மா வெரி கிளியர்லி, அண்ட் ஹீ இஸ் ரியலி இஸ் அ கிரேட் பர்சன். ஈவன் ராஜஜி வாஸ் மென்ஷனிங் ஒன் டே, ஹி வாஸ் சேயிங், நோ சுவாமிஜி சச் அ கிரேட் பர்சன், அண்ட் சம் பீப்புள் ஹவ் வெரி ஃபால்ஸ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங். நோ பீப்புள் ஹூ த ரியலிஸ்ட் பீப்புள் டோன்ட் டிராவல், சோ தே வாண்ட் கம் ஹியர், அண்ட் நோ அண்ட் பிகாஸ் ஹி டிராவல்ஸ் ஹியர் பீப்புள் வில் மிஸ்டேக் திங்க் ஓ ஹீ இஸ் நாட் அ கிரேட் பர்சன் பிகாஸ் ஹி டிராவல்ஸ் லைக் எனி அது ஆர்டினரி பர்சன், அண்ட் பீப்புள் வாண்ட் இவன் கம் அண்ட் சி. Some misconceptions, okay? For them, they have some understanding. They won't cross the ocean and they'll stay somewhere. They're not really messengers. Okay? And then the chakra teaching doesn't believe in messengers, okay? Direct teaching. And that's it. So here, that's why, Thaka Aascharya Tulyaha. And one who knows the Atma is a wonder, really. If there's somebody who knows the Atma correctly, and it is Aascharyam, it's a wonder. And if the person who knows the Atma, he can also reveal his vision, now communicate through his communication, with the purpose, the communicate skills, if he can give the vision to other person, and he is another wonder person, wonderful person. Yeah. Similarly, and such a person is aneka sahasreshu, of many, many, many thousands of people, only one person will be such a person. Therefore, why? Because Atma is Durbodha. It is not that easy to comprehend. It is very, very easy to comprehend. If there is Shraddha in a person, that person stumbles upon a teacher, and in the teaching also Shraddha is there, then definitely, if it is systematically studied with any thing, then definitely one cannot miss the vision. Okay.
பிரகரணார்த்தம்
உபசம்ஹரதி. ஓகே, நௌ பிரகரணார்த்தம், பிரகரண அர்த்தம், பிரகரண அர்த்தம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? தி சப்ஜெக்ட் மேட்டர் விச் இஸ் அண்டர் டிஸ்கஷன் இஸ் வாட்? ஆத்மஸ்வரூப லட்சணம், தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா is the subject matter from the verse number 11 to verse number 30. Okay? So, nature of the Atma. Why should Bhagavan talk about the nature of the Atma in these verses? In the very beginning, he said, why Arjuna asked the question. What is the question he asked? I have to remind you again. Now, he asked, please tell me only that by knowing which I'll become free from all my sorrows. I am your disciple. Please teach me only that which will remove my sorrow, which dries up my senses. I cannot stand this pain anymore. I don't want to know anything else. Because one should be cornered like that, okay? One should be cornered to such a painful situation, then one will seek relief. One will seek help. Till then one manages, okay? Let me not go for help. Let me not go for help. Let me manage. It is nice to manage, but intelligent person should seek help. That's why, and Arjuna seeks help here. When did he seek help? He said, no. Tad ekam nischitya vada. Please tell me only that. No. Yat uchoshanam indriyanam uchoshanam shokam, which will remove that. Now the sorrow which dries up my senses, please tell me only that which will remove my sorrow. And he was very humble. Aham te sishyaha, I am your disciple. Maam prapannam shadi, I have surrendered to you, please help me. Okay, that one word, I have surrendered to you, means surrendering oneself to Bhagavan means what? Surrendering oneself to Shastram, surrendering oneself to the pursuit of knowledge. That is surrender, real surrender. There is no surrender otherwise. And he knew there is something to be known which will remove his sorrow. To be known for the removal of sorrow. Then Krishna started. Come on. And all these confusions are because of what? The total individual. Because of the I notion. No? It's all notional. The problem is purely notional. The problem is only in the notion. There's no real problem at all. It's like typically, like I told you many times, I gave this example. The child cries for the broken toy or broken balloon. The problem is with whom? The child or with the balloon or with the parents? Where is the problem? The problem is not with the child, not with the balloon. The problem is with the misunderstanding of the child. The child wants, expects the balloon to be everlasting. Okay? And the child also thinks that's the problem. Similarly here also, they're purely notional. I think I'm a mortal. I think I'm a doer. I think I'm a destroyer. I think others are destroyed by me. I think I'm small. I think I'm, limited. I think I'm, what I think about myself is the problem. And all that I think about myself based on my identity with the body, mind and complex. And body has its own limitations, mind has its own limitations, senses have their own limitations, the whole material complex, this anatma part of the every individual has its own limitations. And also paradham also is there definitely. One has one's own punya papa paradha one has. So actually the self as such is what? The self as such, the meaning of the I as such, has no problem. But where is the problem? It's only in the notion. Really speaking, that's why without correcting the error in the notion, and nothing can really solve the problem. This is what we're breaking. Shastram is breaking its head against us. Why? Because if there's a real problem, it can find some solution. Okay, really there's a problem, it can be solved. And if there's no problem at all, then you don't need a solution. But if the problem itself is what? Notional. It's in the notion. That is why the notion is what? Erroneous notion. So the notion has to be corrected. That is why you need vivekaha. You need a vivichajnanam. You need discriminative knowledge of what atma is, what anatma is. Leave alone the whole jagat now. Come on, as an individual, what is the reality, truth of the individual here? When you look at the entire, leave alone the entire ocean, look at the west, one wave. What is the truth of the wave? There is such a thing called form, a wave, and which is known by the word wave, and there is also water. Of this, what is real? What is more real? Both are real, really speaking. Wave is real, water also real. What is more real there? Okay, we have to see that. And once you understand what is the nature of the wave, it changes. That is its nature. You can't stop it. But the water can never give up its H2O status. You see, here, similarly, it's a combination of both Namarupa and the truth. It has two. The Namarupa form and name and form is there. Water also is there. Similarly, here every individual is both combination of both Atma and Anatma. But you do not know what Atma is, what Anatma is. And you mistake, you know only Anatma itself is mistaken for the Atma. And all the problems of the Anatma's nature is mistaken for the nature of the Atma. And that's why all the problems centered on I. That's why notional. The whole, all this is because of this. So it just has to be corrected. It all needs correction. Error has to be corrected. That is why Krishna taught, okay, come on, all this nonsense, what is Arjuna talking? Now I'm going to kill all my teachers, all these things. And he, in the bargain, he's going to refuse to do his duty, which is very much needed to maintain the order of the Jagat. One has to do one's duty. How to make him do the duty enthusiastically? Because now this, whenever sorrow comes up and blocks, it will stagnate all your growth, progress, everything. You are really not growing. So the non-performance of duties, non-performance of actions will cause more problems to society. Then what way one can really grow? What is one good for one? One has to do one's duties. And even for one to discover joy and to do one's duties enthusiastically, be more contributive and constructive, not to be damaging and destroying. For that one needs sort of really energy and strength. One has to keep oneself in good humor. What is it which will help him? That is why I talk about the purushartha, nischaya, purushartha and all those things, and has to tell, okay, come on, this is atma, this is anatma. Atma is absolutely indestructible, anatma object to change, and you mistake anatma for the atma. Know this both. There seem to be both, okay, atma and anatma. Atma and atma are two orders of the same reality. This is very much subtler thing. Don't worry about it. This much understand. Atma and anatma are two orders of the same reality. Like the wave and the water. One is mithya, one is satyam. Understand mithya to be mithya, understand satyam to be satyam. Then there's no problem. And what is, now once understand these both as to be two orders of, one is empirically real, one is absolutely real, then this cannot really, then there cannot be any place for room for sorrow or lamenting. It's like how mature and objective and clear and consoling and caring, loving you are to your child, and the child is crying for the toy. How objective you are. You don't internalize the child's problems. You're very caring, very loving, fondling, everything. And you are unaffected, you know, not even a bit you are unaffected. Why? Because the clarity. The whole situation is very clear for you. Similarly, atma, anatma, business should be very, very clear. Then you will be objective towards the whole happening here. At the same time, you will be, when the child is crying, you won't say, okay, it's all natural, let me not. You won't go like that. You will be very active. You will be very much doing your duty. Unaffectedly, objectively, you will be doing what is to be done. That is what is contribution. No? Then what is contribution? What else can you do other than sitting, eating and drinking? What else can we do? You, once you are clear, you first, this way, when you are sinking, don't go and try to lift, uplift other person. You first of all, you come, learn to, protect yourself. Then once you come to this shore, then you can try to help other people who are sinking. It's typically like that. It's all understanding. That's why the whole is from 11th verse till this 30th verse, all Bhagavan talks about the nature of the Atma. Atma Swarupa Lakshanam Yeteshu Vimsati. Vimshati Shlokeshu. No? Atma Swarupam, Atma Swarupa Lakshanam Pratipadyate. Atma Swarupam is revealed here. Explained here. While talking about the Atma Swarupam, he also talks about the Anatma. Did you notice this? That's why there are so many verses talking about the what happened. Atve Nainam Chindanti Shastrani. When he talked about it, he also mentioned what? Anatma also he talked about. Atma Swarupam was discussed. Anatma Swarupam also was discussed. How they also Vyaktadini Bhutani. What happens to the physical body? Antavante me dehaha. No? Dehi nityam avidyo. Dehi nityam avadhyoyam. He talked about the subtle body. He talked about the gross body. He talked about the, even the, no, he didn't talk much about it, but he also mentioned about the causal body. And he also talked about the Atma. Atma Swarupam and Anatma Swarupam, both he explained very beautifully in these 30 verses. Now, hey Arjuna, what are you worried about? Are you worried about the Atma or are you worried about the Anatma? Therefore, now Prakarana Artha means what? The subject matter which is under discussion is Prakarana Artha. Prakarana Artha means the subject matter which is under discussion is the Atma Swarupam. And also anatma, nature of the anatma. And here, idanim upasam harati he sums up. In one verse, Krishna sums up all that he has been talking about, atma and anatma, in this 19 verses. From 11th to 29th. So what he says,
dehi nityam avadhyoyam.
Dehi nityam.
अवध्योऽयम् देहे सर्वस्य भारत देहे सर्वस्य भारत तस्मात् सर्वाणि भूतानि तस्मात् सर्वाणि भूतानि न त्वं शोचितुमर्हसि न त्वं शोचितुमर्हसि
He says, Dehi Nityam Avadhyaha Ayam Dehe Sarvasya Bharata. See, Ayam Dehi, Ayam means what? This. Not English Ayam. Sanskrit Ayam means this. Okay? Ayam Dehi, Yeshaha Dehi, no, Nityam Avadhyaha. Nityam here is not an adjective for the Dehi. It is an adverb here, always, okay? Nityam avadhyaha. It is always indestructible. Okay? Dehi is never destroyable. Avadhyaha. And where? Sarvasya dehe, in every body, in everyone's body, in everybody's body, in every body, in every form, the Dehi is what? Every form is what? Every individual is combination of both Atma and Anatma. And Dehi, the indweller of the Deha, the Atma, okay, is indestructible. Sarvasya Dehe, I am Dehi, Nityam Avadhyaha is always indestructible. Tasmat sarvani bhutani. That is how all the beings are here. No being is ever destroyed. We understand. Sarvani bhutani. That is how all the beings in this universe is what? Like that. Only the external, gross, physical form is seemingly destroyed, which is only a modification of a form, which will result in what? Even the mosquito is killed, it will be available in powders. Okay, really speaking, and that becomes a disintegrated elemental again. It will join the elements. But the elephant dies also what? Reduced to elements. Okay, in our own understandable language. Our physical body, we will, or anything, will be finally reduced to elements. But what about the Atma? What about the Atma part of the every individual, every being? I am Dehi Nityam Avadhyaha. The consciousness in every being is what? Nityam Avadhyaha. The Atma is Nityam Avadhyaha. So the indweller of the body, in every body, is Nityam Avadhyaha, is ever indestructible. So also all the beings are like that. Understand? So tasmat tvam shochitum na arhasi. Tvam shochitum na arhasi. You don't deserve to grieve. You don't need to grieve. Really speaking, you don't deserve any grief at all. You don't need to grieve at all. Grieving implies immaturity. Okay, an immature person only can be given to grief. A mature person cannot grieve. Immature implies lack of understanding. You have understanding, if you have understood the facts, then you can very well accept the facts. The one who has understanding of the facts and one who can accept the facts is a mature person. Mature person does not grieve. The immature person is what? Grieves. Immaturity is due to lack of understanding. So, tvam shochitum na arhasi. If you didn't understand, really speaking, as a mature the person of understanding, one doesn't need to grieve. But if you understand, then you will be doing what is to be done also. Actually, the real people of vision will be very active. Many people mistake, okay? Many people think, oh, your interest in moksha and jnanam, so you won't do, I don't need to do anything else. That is not true. One has to be doing one's duties. Because Bhagavan always emphasizes performance of actions and duties, like workaholic, will not take you anywhere. You'll be doing and doing and doing, but you become more and more frustrated. And non-performance of actions and duties also will not take you anywhere. Okay? You become lazy and idle, it also not take you anywhere. Therefore, he says, one has to do one's duties. Non-performance, non-doing, being inactive also is not good. Being workaholic also is not good. Here one has to do one's duties but with proper understanding. Knowing the limitations of duties and karma, knowing what the end is, where actually the problem lies, and there you should find solution. Without knowing what the problem is, you try to, without having recognized the problem, and you are trying to find a solution. How will it work? First, recognize the problem, then find the appropriate solution, then you do what is to be done, and you will be you will be the contributor. Now that's what Krishna says here. So this is Upasamhara. What is Upasamhara? What is summary here? Dehi avadhyaha dehaha vadhyaha. Dehi is subject to dehaha is subject to destruction, means what? Relative destruction, that is called change, which is called death. Understand? That's only a modification of form. What happens to dehi? Nityam avadhyaha. No change or whatsoever, nothing ever happens on the part of the atma, the dehi. Here, what are you worrying about? What are you worried about? Dehi or the dehaha? Both together constitute an individual. Understand? Tasmat sarvani bhutani, not only you, every life is as significant as your life. Every being is like this. All the beings are like this only. These are all the beings, and all the beings, dehi is avadhyaha, and deha is subject to disintegration. Subject to modifications and changes. Once you know this, tam sochitam na arhasi, you don't need to grieve about it. You don't need to worry about it. Dehi iti.
Dehi iti.
Dehi.
Dehi.
Shankaracharya gives a meaning, shariri.
Shariri.
Please listen carefully. Dehaha is a body. Shariram is a body. One who indwells the dehaha, deha is dehi. Dehin shabdaha. Similarly, sharire tishtati iti sharirin. One who indwells the body is sharirin, shariri. Then, nityam.
Nityam.
Nityam means what? Nityaha means eternal. Nitya means eternal. Nityam also means eternal. But here nityam is used in the sense of always. Sarvada. Okay. Sarva. Sarva avasthasu.
Sarva avasthasu.
Sarva avasthasu.
Sarva avasthasu.
In all states, always. Okay, always. Avadhyaha.
Avadhyaha.
Avadhyaha means what? Indestructible. It cannot be destroyed. Vadhyaha means what? That which can be killed or destroyed is vadhyaha. Avadhyaha. Dehi is avadhyaha. Atma is avadhyaha here. Why? How it is avadhyaha? Nir avayavatvat.
Nir avayavatvat.
Very beautiful. Because it is partless whole. Okay, Atma is one partless whole. Like space. So like only example, even space is what? Available is not object. Understand? When you say, even the space cannot be, if you take your knife or something, now try to stab this space, what happens? What happens to space? Understand? Anything So savayavam, anything which has avayavas, many parts, that alone can be divided. That is divisible. And atma is what? Nir avayavaha. It is partless. One partless whole. Therefore, it is not divisible. Therefore, it is not divisible. Therefore, it is not destroyable. Okay? It is indestructible. Imperishable. And here is nir avayavatvat. Not only it is nir avayava, atma has nir avayavatvam. Not only atma is partless, it is also eternal. Nityatvat. See, because atma is eternal, eternity is its very swarupam. And also partless whole. It is avidyaha. The two Shankaracharya gives two reasons. Atma is nityaha. Atma is niravayavaha. Ataha, atma avidyaha. Katam dehi avidyaha. Dehi nityaha. Dehi niravayavaha. Therefore, dehi is what? Avidyaha. It is eternal. It is partless. Therefore, it is indestructible. Imperishable. But he says, nityaha, katam nityaha. How it is eternal? Because it is endless and beginningless. How do you say it is beginningless and endless? Because it is uncaused. How do you say it is uncaused? Because it is causeless. Why it is caused? It is self-existent. Why it is self? Because it is very existence. Just understand. Therefore it is nityaha. Don't worry, it will become very clear later on. But you have to be with me. Hold my finger and walk along with me. That's all. Tatra avadhyaha. Therefore he says, dehi sarvada sarvasu avasthasu, always nir avayavatvat nityatvat, due to its nature of eternity, being eternal, due to the status of being indivisible, partlessness. It is indivisible and it is indestructible. I am avadhyaha. Is it clear? Then he says, where dehe. And he gives sharire. In this body. Whose body? Sarvasya. Sarvagatatvat. See, when you say dehi is atma. What is Atma's Atmanaha nature? Sarvagatatvam, all pervasiveness. Okay? Because self is one, self is indivisible, therefore self is partless whole, and also its existence, it is what? It is, it is indestructible, and it is also all pervasive, eternal, and it is also all pervasive. Sarvagatatvam, all pervasiveness. Therefore, sthavaradishu sthitaha api, not only in human form, sthavaradishu, the mobile, immobile, in all the beings, the dehi is nitya, dehi yekaha, dehi nityaha, dehi sarvagataha, dehi is what? Nir avayavaha, understand? Therefore, avadhyaha. Where? Sarvasu avasthasu, in all situations, in all, in any state, in any condition, atma is indestructible. Not only in your body, no, it is all pervasive in all the bodies. Sthavaradishu. Because atma pervades everything. Sthavaradishu.
Sthavaradishu.
So even though it is there in all the mobile and insentient beings also, still it is where? It is indestructible. Sarvasya.
Sarvasya.
Pranijatasya.
Pranijatasya.
Dehe.
Dehe.
Vadhyamane api.
Vadhyamane api.
Ayam dehi.
Ayam dehi.
Na vadhyaha.
Na vadhyaha.
See, sarvasya means what he says, pranijatasya, any living being, okay, any body born of any other living being. Any living being born of its own species, okay? Any living body, from one of its own body, its own species, is what? Dehaha vadhyamanaha. Every physical body, every living form, please listen, living, the body of any species, any living being is what? Born. And this body, vadhyamanaha, it is subject to get disintegrated, it is subject to get destroyed, it can be killed. Killed means what? Body can be killed means what? It can be deformed, the form can be changed, it can be divided, it is divisible. It has many parts, it can be cut, it can be cleaved, it can be divided. It is subject to get disintegration. Understand? Even other person kills it or not, after some time, by itself it will die. Mm-hmm. Understand? So, deha vadyamanaha. Even though the body of any living being is subject to get disintegrated and destroyed, destructible, still, I am dehi, but this dehi, the indwar of the body, the atma part of the individual, anatma part of the individual is vadyaha, atma part of the individual is avadyaha, indestructible. I am dehi.
I am dehi.
Na vadyaha.
Na vadyaha.
Yasmat.
Yasmat.
Tasmat.
Tasmat.
Bhishmadini.
Bhishmadini.
Sarvani bhutani.
Sarvani bhutani.
Uddishya.
Uddishya.
Na tvam shochitum arhasi.
Na sham shochitum arhasi.
Hey Arjuna. Tvam shochitum na arhasi. Tvam shochitum na arhasi. You don't need to grieve. Regarding whom? You don't need to worry about anybody including Bhishma or Drona, your teacher, your great-grandsire, all good people, all innocent warriors who were in the battlefield. You don't need to worry about any other living being now. Why? Because you have to do your duty now. And okay? Suppose you really grieve out of compassion for people who really deserve any grief. Okay? Then it's okay. And nobody really deserves any grief. You do your duty. Even if it involves some killing and pain, himsa. Why? Because doing the right, for protecting the right, doing the right, it may involve some himsa. Understand? But doing the duty is very important here. So what he says is, so Bhishma, Dini, Sarvani, Bhutani, even all these beings are, including Bhishma. Why only worry about the Bhishma and Drona? What about all other beings? All the Pranijatasya, okay? So all the bodies born of Pranis is what? Vadyaha. How did it disintegration. But Dehi, Atma of all the beings is what? Avadyaha, indestructible. So also Bhishma. And you don't have to worry about whether Bhishma's body or your body, anybody's body, even Duryodhana's body, all the bodies, what? Bodies are anatma part of all the living beings are vadyaha. Atma part of all the living beings are what? All the living, anatma part of all the living beings is avadyaha. Anatma part of all the living beings is vadyaha. This is the fact about the nature of the things. Now what is there for you to grieve about, especially about Bhishma and Drona? Nobody is special here. Everybody is special. Every is very significant and very beautiful and wonderful. Otherwise nobody is significant, nobody is wonderful. Okay? There's nothing special about anybody here. This is one, okay? Only my Bhishma, my Drona, how can I kill them? No, I can't do. This is an excuse to escape, okay? Come on, go and do your duty now. This is what is Atma. This is what is Anatma. He's going to say that now. Okay, what is destructible? What is indestructible? You know that now. And not only your body, not only Bhishma, Drona, all the beings are like this. The whole Jagat, all the beings are like that. Sarvani Bhutani, Tasmatam Shochitam Na Arhasi, therefore you don't need to grieve. Is Upasamhara. Okay? Beautifully one verse Upasamharati. Krishna sums up the whole teaching, what he gives, what is Atma part of individual, what is the Anatma part of the individual. Anatma part of the individual, Dehaha Vadhyaha. Atma part of the individual, Atma Dehi Avadhyaha. Dehaha Vadhyaha Dehi Avadhyaha. Anatma part is Vadhyaha, Atma part of the individual is Avadhyaha. Whole teaching is summed up now. And if you are worried about the Anatma and Anatma are two orders of the same reality, look at this. This is what we will understand. A little confusion comes. Don't worry, you have to wait for that. Okay? And now you understand this much. Two orders of the same reality. And Atma is Satyam, Anatma is Mithya. Anatma is dependent on Atma, Atma is independent of the Anatma. This is the nature. And what are you worried about? You are worried about the Atma or the Anatma. We say, no, I am worried about only Bhishma. That means you are immature. Bhishma is also as good an individual as any other individual. Drona is as an individual as any other individual. You are an individual as any other individual. Any individual is what? Both. Vadhyaha Deha, Avadhyaha Dehi. Therefore, Tvam Shochitam Na Arhasi. Krishna said, Tvam Shochitam Na Arhasi. You don't need to grieve. So, Iha Paramarthatattva Apekshayam Shokaha Va Mohaha. Okay, let me start. Paramartha.
Paramartha.
Tattva.
Tattva.
Apekshayam.
Apekshayam.
Shokaha.
Shokaha.
Va.
Va.
Mohaha.
Mohaha.
Va.
Va.
Na.
Na.
Sambhavati.
Sambhavati.
Na kevalam.
Na kevalam.
Paramartha.
Paramartha.
Tattva.
Tattva.
Apekshayam.
Apekshayam.
Eva.
Eva.
Kintu.
Kintu.
Okay, before he goes, first sentence, we see. Second sentence, we won't go now. I'll do next class. Paramartha tattva apekshayam.
Paramartha
tattva apekshayam. See, in the gain of the knowledge of the absolute reality, the ultimate truth. Paramartha tattva means what? Ultimate truth. Absolute reality. Okay? Apekshayam. In fact, apekshaya means what? Apeksha means actually a need actually. Really speaking, apeksha means need. But here we have to understand, once you gain the knowledge of the, in the light of the knowledge, in the wake of the knowledge of the ultimate truth or the absolute reality as the self, or in the wake of the knowledge of the self, which is the ultimate truth or the absolute reality of the whole jagat also, then mohaha na sambhavati. Definitely, mohaha, delusion cannot be there. Na sambhavati, mohaha, delusion is impossible for delusion to be there in the light of the knowledge of, in the wake of the knowledge of the self, which is the ultimate truth. Self, the meaning of the word I, the substance or the substantive, I, the ultimate truth of the entire cosmos, absolute reality of the entire cosmos is one and the same. So in the wake of the knowledge of the self, the ultimate truth, the absolute reality, then mohaha cannot be there. What is mohaha? Delusion. What is delusion? Lack of discrimination. Lack of discriminative knowledge. Of what? Of Atma and Anatma. Of the Dehi and the Dehaha. Okay? In the wake of the knowledge, how can you say again delusion is there? Discriminative knowledge is there. The knowledge of the truth, you know what the truth is? then naturally you also know what the truth is not. You know what the self is, definitely, oh, consciousness alone is a substance or a substantive I, that is the actual Atma, the knower, and all that is available as known, Anatma, mind, senses, body, everything is what now? Dehaha Anatma. No? Is Anatma, you understand, this also is Anatma, like anything external to the body is Anatma, this is also Anatma. So in the wake of the knowledge of the Paramartha Tattvam, the Atma, then mohaha na sambhavati, there is no more delusion. Why? There is no lack of discriminative knowledge. There is discriminative knowledge. Mohaha, nashtaha mohaha, moha goes. When the moha is not there, when the delusion is not there, there is what is there? There is discriminative knowledge of what Atma is, what Anatma is. When the vivekaha is there, mohaha, opposite of moha is what? Vivekaha. Mohaha, opposite of moha is vivekaha. You can't say, no, there is mohaha, there is also vivekaha. You can't, there is also light, there is also darkness. We cannot say that. So, paramata tattva jnane, mohe nashte, vivekaha eva bhavati. There is only viveka. There is only discriminative knowledge. There is no lack of discriminative knowledge. So when this vivekaha is there, then vivekaha, the clarity and the discriminative knowledge of what Atma is, what Anatma is, then shokaha cannot be there. Shokaha is what? Sorrow, grief. Grief goes with moha. Grief cannot go with discriminative knowledge, which implies clarity of vision. Understand? Shokaha is possible only if there is mohaha. Mohaha is possible only if there is ignorance of the paramartha tattvam. That is, paramartha tattva jnane, mohaha na sambhavati, shokaha na sambhavati. Why? Because moha na sambhavati. Moha cannot be there. That's all. Therefore, he's going to say what we'll see next class. Even if, okay, leave alone everything. Now Krishna is very practical, okay? He wants to show. Come on, I had talked to you all about the Atma and Anatma. So what is the nature of the Atma? What is the nature of the Anatma? Therefore, you have to do what is to be done. You do your duty. Even if you don't talk about the Atma and Anatma, from the standpoint of your Swadharma, your own duty. Come on, what is your duty now? What is the role play now? Once you are playing the role of a father, you have to do the role of a father. You have to play the role play very well. You can't say, having become a father, you can't say, no, I don't want to become a father. You already become a father. You should have thought about not becoming a father much before marrying a woman and then making her a mother, okay? Therefore, having become a father, you can't say, I don't want to be, I have a very big responsibility, I don't look after children, I don't want to become a father now. You cannot become a father anymore. You've already become a father. So you have to play the role helplessly, inevitably. So here, that is what, similarly here, you are a kshatriya, a born kshatriya. You have earned punya papas. Accordingly, you are born what now? A prince. Actually, you are not an ordinary citizen also. You were born as a prince and you are an Arjunaha, are known for your valor and things. And what is your duty now? You are a kshatriya. He is talking to the proper Indian, okay? Therefore, there's all Varna, the whole blood, everything shows Varna is there. You are a Kshatriya. What is Kshatriya's duty? You have to protect Dharma. Protecting Dharma, Kshatriya's duty. Like protecting the family is a father's duty. Protecting the Dharma is Kshatriya's duty. You have to protect the Dharma means what? Protecting the Dharma means, no, whole, every people who live in tune with the order, they alone don't disturb the order. So in order the Jagat not to be disturbed, in order not to disturb the Jagat's order, there should be people who should be living Dharma, life of Dharma, and those people should be protected. When Dharma has it, the values can be protected. For which one has to fight against it. So this is protecting the Dharma is the Kshatriya's duty. That is why, what is the duty of a king, prime minister, the so-called present, the rulers of the big people who, the president and prime minister, what is their role? This different name, king or queen. Why do we need king and queen otherwise? Anybody can become a king of one's own. Why do we have somebody called a leader? One person is always looked up to. Why? Because that is the blood, that's a duty. Okay? Kshatriya means kshatat trayate iti kshatriya. You know that? Kshata means wound. Okay? And kshata means wound.
A wound.
Wound is called kshatam. And kshatat trayate iti kshatriya means what? Actually, one who protects one from getting wounded. One who protects one from getting hurt. Getting, you know, understand what I'm saying? And who caused the kshatam, who wound the people, who violate the rules, whoever goes against the natural laws and universal laws, they're all violators of laws and they're all adharmis. And they really disturb. Therefore, kshatat trayate means those who protect people from getting wounded, getting hurt, not getting offended. Therefore, those who getting afflicted and affected, therefore they are kshatriyas. Protection means what? Know what? Those who live for really dharma, they are kshatriyas. Therefore, you are kshatriya. And what is your duty? Protecting the dharma. Protecting the dharma means what should she do? You fight against people who are against dharma, who transgress dharma. That is a duty. Therefore, from the standpoint of atma anatma viveka, you cannot grieve at all. From the standpoint, you cannot refuse to do your duty. Understand? Just for the sake of not killing, not getting killed, you cannot say, I don't want to fight. From the standpoint of your duty also, you cannot say you don't want to fight. Why? Fight means what? You cannot say you don't want to do your duty. Don't think Krishna wants Arjuna to go and kill other people. Here I want to mention the word duty. Swadharma anushtanam is highly emphasized. Doing one's own duty is very, very important. Even for spiritual knowledge, this so-called philosophical knowledge, spiritual knowledge, leaving these family duties and going away, leaving the children away and going for these camps and businesses is not advisable. Our Swamiji never recommends. Young people want to come as a family or don't come. We always tell, in American Gurukulam, we can't family camps. We can't leave the children at home and go away. Mothers. Because how much you affect, you know, the children and things. So what I'm saying, everything they have to learn together, everybody has to pick up this. Because learn to be together first of all. That is very important. So here he says, Swadharma anushtanam is very, very important. And you as a kshatriya, what is your duty? You have to protecting dharma is a duty. You protecting dharma is a duty. That means what? Anything or anybody, if there is anything is against dharma, that has to be taken care of. You may have to lose your life also in that. That is Swadharma anushtanam. Swadharme nidhanam shreyaha. He is going to say later on. So swadharmam apicha avekshya, you know, so shochitum na arhasi. From the standpoint of his duty also, don't need to worry about it now. Why? Because tasmat aparihariye arthe. Okay, dharmyadhi uddhat shreyaha anyate kshatriyasya na vidyate. So other than fighting against, other than doing one's duty, other than, you know, doing a duty for the sake of protecting dharma, there's nothing greater and more important for a kshatriya. Therefore, you don't need to worry about it, anything. Okay, we'll talk about next class. Something, I had to tell so much about it. In the second chapter consists of 72 verses. Or 72 verses, first 10 verses, there's conversation between Arjuna and Krishna, where really Arjuna recognizes his problem and he seeks help. That's a different, it also goes with first chapter, the context of the teaching. Then the 11th verse onwards, the actual teaching, the Atma Sarupa Lakshanam, in the form of Atma Sarupa Lakshanam, Atma Anatma Vivekaha is presented in the 11th to 30th, the 20 verses. One topic is over. the nature of the self and also the nature of the non-self. Both have been very clearly presented in these 20 verses from the 11th to 30th. One topic is over. Next he is going to talk different. Something Karma Yoga is going to be introduced here. Next topic will be Karma Yoga. So before we enter into the new topic, I want to sum up this. Because second chapter is an epitome of entire Gita. These are the verses thoroughly one has to understand.
Sabriji, may I ask just a question? Over here you use Dehi as Atma. And then earlier, when we talk about bodies, the embodied self changing, like bodies changing clothes and things. Dehi over there, you said, was sukshma.
Some context. But I said...
So how would we know which... How would we know which context?
No, avadhyaha. The word avadhyaha. Indestructible, one we say, Yuspitichi. The only indestructible thing means what? That which never changes at all is avadhyaha. That is only atma.
So, but you said that of the sukshma is also in this.
No, sukshma relatively. Sukshma, see, dehi is the word which means indweller. Indweller. When the standpoint of the gross body, the subtle body also is indweller.
Sukshma.
Okay? And subtle body also is not destroyed by the gross body. So, one's mind or pranas or senses cannot be killed by, okay, that's why even when a person, somebody commits a suicide, he kills only his gross body, not his own subtle body. Understand? Even as a suicide also is a sin. Because your subtle body continues to survive. It cannot be killed. That way, it is not destroyable. Understand? But, that which never change, that which will never change, we can say that will not be destroyed at all is the self. Relatively indestructible, but actually he means the Atma. Dehi, ultimately it means only the Atma. Dehi, you can say the indweller of the, okay, subtle and grow it together, let's make it Deha. Then Dehi, because Avadhyaha is the word used here, so we take it as Atma.
Because of the use of what?
Avadhyaha, indestructible, imperishable. Because even subtle body is not destructible, mean what? But it undergoes changes, no? It can be resolved. But can't understand. See, the wave can be resolved in water. Where can the water be resolved? Resolution is not possible. Subtle can be resolved, whereas not the Atma as such. That is why it's what avadhyaha means, only not the subtle body but the very self.
So then how would we have known that the other one was not referring to Atman?
No, there also, Pitaji, I have to tell both the meanings actually.
Oh, okay.
Then I'm going to sum up again anyway. See, there in the beginning I wanted to talk to you about this because I had to talk about the continuity of the subtle body, life of subtle body.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I have said. But even if it continues to survive, even if this body is destroyed, it continues to survive. But Atma as such is what?
Totally indestructible.
Indestructible. That is why relative destruction, total destruction, I have been talking all of them, I use these two terms. Become very clear later on. I think it's become clear, isn't it?
Yes.
Hatha Bodha helps a lot, isn't it? Anyway, in our class itself will take you to contemplation. Only thing is, as the clarity dawns, you will start seeing things. And seeing the truth means what? Now, we cannot mentally, you cannot miss the vision of the truth. That is contemplation. Class itself will take you to meditation. And which will, in the course of time, will help you assimilate the thing. And which is the very purpose of meditation. That way we don't really go for any... The so-called techniques.
Mm-hmm.